Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3.
Good morning and welcome to the September session of the Nebraska Court of Appeals. My name is Judge Inbody and I'm the presiding judge today. I'm pleased to be joined by Judge Moore on my right and Judge Castle on my left. And we're excited to have the opportunity to hear your arguments. When I call your case, you'll need to come up and be seated here at council table. And then for purposes of our audio and video recordings, I will state your case a second time. The first case this morning is In Re Interest of Ramon N. Counsel? First case is In Re Interest of Ramon N. Good morning.
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Valerie McCarg. I represent the appellant, Ramon. I would like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal. Our main request today of the court is that you find that the court erred by continuing Ramon's out-of-home placements after ICWA applied and without any additional evidence on active efforts or expert testimony, which is required by ICWA. Briefly, the facts include that prior to the February 16th dispositional review hearing, all of the parties are provided a review, a court report. In that court report, it includes the Department of Health and Human Services recommendations. In that court report, it's Exhibit 2 in the Bill of Exceptions. It states that the recommendation is that Ramon stay at his grandmother's house, which I would point out is a preferred placement under ICWA. At the hearing, there was evidence adduced, and Ramon ended up getting detained in the staff secure portion of the detention center pending a location of a group home placement for him. Immediately after that hearing, we obtained evidence that Ramon was an enrolled member of the Ogallala Sioux tribe, and that's when the petition to invalidate proceedings was filed along with his enrollment papers. Then there was a hearing on my petition on March 5th. At that hearing, the court overruled the petition and found that ICWA applied and that the requirements of expert testimony were satisfied by Ramon's mother's testimony at a hearing 6 months prior. The reasoning, I think the court should apply the reasoning that they applied in the original Emma case, the Emma J case, before it was amended. This case is different than the Emma J case, mainly because this appeal followed immediately when he was taken out of the home and when ICWA applied, unlike the amended Emma case.
Counsel, in your brief, you argue that not only should ICWA apply from prospectively or from the date it was recognized as the court enforced, or at least arguably enforced, but also retroactively. I'm not hearing you advance that argument today. Is that?
It's not our main request right now based on the case law that says prospectively ICWA applies. I think there can be some argument made that the spirit of ICWA could require perhaps the county attorney or court to make an initial determination when a petition is filed whether ICWA would apply. In this particular case, it's in the record somewhat that the family had a prior case with the court and the county attorney where ICWA did apply. So I think, you know, the court, there isn't really case law on whether the county attorney has any duty to look at when they file that petition if ICWA should apply.
The circumstances of this sort of cry out that the ICWA was only raised when your client was dissatisfied with the placement that came about.
Well,
I mean, what's the policy reason that supports using ICWA as sort of a shield against placement?
Well, I guess that there was, the appellant wasn't in possession of any evidence that ICWA applied prior to him being placed at the group home level. He was in a placement, a preferred ICWA placement with his grandmother, and he was raising no issue with that placement before. So I guess, yeah, that is, you know, we were able to obtain that evidence after he was placed out of his grandmother's home.
But you're not seriously contending today that the trial court heard with a prospective application of ICWA from the point forward where ICWA came into the record?
Our main request is just that, yeah, when he found ICWA applied on March 5th, there should have been testimony to support continued out-of-home placement consistent with ICWA. That's our primary request. This case is also different from Enrique P., which was referenced in the briefs. Again, because this appeal was made immediately after he was taken out of his home and his grandmother's home. In the Enrique case, I believe what was actually held was there were not, that it was harmless error. I don't think there's any evidence in any of the records that active efforts were ever made in this case, and there was clearly no expert testimony. The court seems to acknowledge that, or in his order, he does acknowledge that ordinarily he would have continued the hearing for expert testimony, but he found Ramon's mother's testimony from that hearing 6 months prior qualified, and I think for many reasons, a child's mother's testimony should not be considered expert testimony. In my brief, I think it's page 10, I outline what qualifies as expert testimony under ICWA, and there's no evidence that his mother meets any of those criteria. Also, she's a party to the action. She has a very biased interest. I certainly don't think the court should have relied on her testimony as expert ICWA testimony. I think that this case does differ from a lot of the prior ICWA cases because there was an objection made right away to the group home placement. Ramon was taken out of the home right away, but as the record indicates, it was with his grandmother, a preferred placement. So I think in this case, there shouldn't be harmless error. I guess that's all I really have prepared right now, unless there's any other questions.
No questions.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. Counsel, whenever you're ready. Good morning.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Sarah Sujith, and I am counsel for the Department of Health and Human Services and appellee in this matter. As you may know, there is another appellee, the Lancaster County Attorney's Office, and our positions, as you know from the briefs, are essentially the same, so we've agreed to split our time today.
So you're going to use 5 minutes?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right. Do you wish to be notified when you have 1 minute left, or?
Yes, we've already discussed it at the time for breakfast.
All right.
She's going to notify me.
That's fine.
Thank you. Your Honor, in this case, I see two primary issues that sort of envelop the two assignments of error in this case. And the first is has already been touched on today, and that is at what stage of the proceedings did ICWA apply to this case? And then finally, when ICWA finally did apply, what that language means for what evidence needs to be put on in the court. I also want to note, starting off, that what the appellant actually appealed from is an order dated March 5th, 2010, specifically stating in his notice of appeal that they're appealing from the juvenile court's order overruling their petition to invalidate proceedings. But what I read in the brief and what I heard here today from appellant's counsel is that they're essentially appealing a placement order that's not contained anywhere in that March 5th, 2010 order. Appellant mentions in its reply brief that it is addressed in that order. However, what you'll actually see if you look at that order closely, I believe it's the last paragraph or the second to last paragraph, is a discussion by the juvenile court as to why it's not addressing placement at this time in that March 5th order. The placement order that appellant is requesting you to overturn at this time is found in an order dated November 17th, 2010.
Is that before or after the ICWA proceedings were
that was before ICWA was invoked on March 5th.
So doesn't that make some difference?
Yes, Your Honor, and actually that's my primary argument, that placement was ordered prior to ICWA being invoked, and therefore we can't invalidate proceedings under ICWA because no violation can occur of requirements that don't yet apply to a case.
The placement at that time, was that with relatives of the juvenile?
Prior to February 16th, when a hearing was held in the juvenile court, the juvenile was placed with his grandmother in an out-of-home placement. On February 16th at a hearing, and an order filed the next day, the judge ordered the juvenile to the group home level of care. And approximately three weeks later...
And the hearing you're talking about removing him from his home was from November?
The order removing him from his mother's home was actually much earlier in the case. It was at a temporary custody hearing in August of 2009.
So why don't we then look at what happens when he's removed from his grandmother's home, which would be a relative, into a group home? Because at that point, ICWA has been determined to apply, hasn't it?
No, Your Honor. At that point, it had not been determined to apply. The juvenile was moved out of his grandmother's home and into the group home level of care at a hearing on February 16th, 2010. ICWA was invoked at a hearing on March 5th, 2010.
Thank you.
I wanted to take some of my time.
Well, may I just clarify, though? The March 5th order did find that it was necessary to continue out-of-home placement, didn't it?
I don't find that language in the order, Your Honor. I find language indicating that the judge was not going to address placement any further at that time by requiring qualified expert witness testimony.
Counsel, wasn't there an ICWA notice given back in November?
There was, Your Honor. There was an ICWA notice given. I believe it was in October of 2009, actually. Sent by the Lancaster County Attorney's Office. That is a requirement under ICWA. If we have knowledge that ICWA may apply to a proceeding, then we do have to send notice. That was done. However, the burden...
So there was in the file, there was a notice that ICWA proceedings did apply
at the time
the child was removed from the grandmother and placed in a group home?
No, Your Honor. There was an affidavit of notice to the tribe filed with the court. However, as I note in my brief, the case law in Nebraska clearly states that the party seeking to invoke ICWA has the burden to submit evidence to the court proving that it does apply. That evidence was never supplied to the court. No response from the tribe was ever given to the notice that was sent to them, and therefore ICWA didn't apply until March 5th when the appellant actually first provided evidence of his valid enrollment in the tribe. So with that, I believe the remainder of the time is for the Lancaster County Attorney's Office.
Very well. Thank
you. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Jenna Berg. I'm with the Lancaster County Attorney's Office, and I'm also an appellee in the state. I'm asking the court to affirm the decision of the Lancaster County Juvenile Court. I kind of want to touch on an issue that it sounds like maybe is not the primary issue anymore, but when this was initially brought before the juvenile court, it was a motion to invalidate proceedings. ICWA requires the party wishing to invoke ICWA to show application of ICWA, and that happened on March 5th, 2010. So from that day forward, there was evidence of enrollment that then triggered ICWA's applicability. The evidence of enrollment in the tribe should not trigger it in the past, and that's initially what was being asked for. And I just think that's bad policy, which I think the court was asking some questions about. The purpose of ICWA is to support the Indian culture and Indian families within the juvenile court system and to ensure maintaining families together. But it's not an avenue to avoid the rehabilitative services of the juvenile court.
Doesn't the notice that's given, the ICWA notice that's given in October, November, evidence the state's recognition that this child was an enrolled child?
Your Honor, any time the state's given any possibility of applicability of ICWA, we send out several notices. Someone may say, I think that I am involved with any one of these tribes. the Lancaster County Attorney's Office would then send notice to all of these tribes. That doesn't mean that they are an enrolled member or that they're even eligible for enrollment. We just feel it's part of our responsibility to find out. There was never any response from the tribe that indicated that, yes, the appellant was enrolled in any of these tribes or that ICWL was applicable in this case.
Does the record in this case reflect whether or not earlier proceedings had been brought against this child and there had been a determination that he did qualify under ICWL?
Your Honor, to be completely honest, I'm not sure of that. I think it's brought up several times in there. I don't recall, as the county attorney on this case, that being established as part of the evidence that ICWA had applied previously, but my memory may not be completely accurate.
Thank you. Excuse me.
You asked the same question I was going to.
I guess I just wanted to indicate, I just don't think it's good policy to be able to invoke prior proceedings. As the court knows, ICWA has the same applicability in Nebraska Revised Statute 247.3a and 3b. In a 3a case, down the line, a parent could withhold information that ICWA applies and then come forward when, say, they're facing a motion to terminate the parental rights and say, okay, now ICWA applies, so let's invalidate everything that's happened before. And I don't think that's the purpose of ICWA, and I just don't think that's good policy. I don't think it's in the best interest of the children or the family. So we're asking that this court affirm all our court's decision.
When the court at the March hearing made the comment that ordinarily the court would continue the hearing to provide an opportunity for the presentation of expert testimony, do you think that the court at that time was recognizing that expert testimony was required in order to continue the out-of-court placement?
I do believe that the court was saying under ICWA expert testimony is required, and my understanding of the court's order was that he was finding that expert testimony had been provided in the past.
So for us, for purposes of making the determination whether or not that was proper, do we have to determine whether or not the testimony of the mother could be considered expert testimony?
I think that's certainly a question that's before the court right now. And the other issue that, the other argument that the state has is that perhaps this just needs to be remanded to the lower court so that that expert testimony can be provided. I think the major concern of our office is that this should not invoke any prior proceedings. We should not be able to say, I erased everything that's happened before because now it applies. As far as whether or not that was appropriate expert testimony, I suppose that that's something the court may need to consider because it does appear by the opinion of the, or the order of the lower court that he was finding the mother's testimony to be expert testimony in this case. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. How much time does the appellant have left? Thank you. I thought she had good stuff.
Thank you. March 5th order, I think it clearly discusses continued out-of-home placement. The judge's order, not only overruling the motion or the petition to invalidate proceedings, discusses the group home placement and why he still felt that was appropriate. There was what we call a placement check hearing after my petition to invalidate proceedings hearing. At that, there was a court report offered at the March 5th hearing that discussed location of a group home. So there was certainly a lot of testimony about an ongoing out-of-home placement at the group home level.
If we find that we can't go back and invalidate the prior proceedings, but rather that ICWA applies from the time it was determined that it applied, what are you asking us to do?
Remand the case so that expert testimony and proof that there had been active efforts is established before the continued out-of-home placement can occur. So technically, Ramon shouldn't have been removed without that testimony. So I guess I would ask that he be returned to his home or at least his grandmother's home until there is ICWA testimony that would be in his best interest and he would suffer emotional harm if he's not removed from that home because that is what ICWA says. And then just briefly, whether there were enough facts prior to March 5th on whether ICWA applied is a case-by-case determination. There was notice given. The county attorney provided notice because there was a court report given to all the parties that stated the family was a member of an Ogallala tribe.
Is that a part of our record?
It is not, because that hearing was continued. No. No, in the record there is indication from the mother. The mother did testify at the hearing that she had a previous CPS case where ICWA did apply. That is in the record. She stated that in the March 5th hearing, the bill of exception.
March 5th hearing, but not on the prior hearing.
Correct.
And after the March 5th hearing, the court determined that ICWA did apply.
Yes.
So that doesn't help you anymore, does it?
Well, just to go to knowledge that there was a prior case in which the county attorney was involved, the court was involved. Excuse me?
We don't know when that was, do we?
It was 2006. I believe she said in the record she indicates she had a CPS case in 2006.
Okay.
So it was much prior. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Matter will be deemed submitted. Counsel excused. Thank you for coming in this morning. The next matter is interest of Jemiah Allen.